The following program is brought to you by the AARP of Wisconsin. Here's David Brazil with Advocacy Director Lisa Lamkins.
This summer, healthcare reform is a hot topic in Wisconsin. AARP Wisconsin's crossing the state to talk to people about all those reforms that are in the works and some of the elements that they'd like to see added to the healthcare system. I'm here with Lisa Lamkins, who is the Advocacy Director for AARP Wisconsin. And Lisa, we hear all the time that the healthcare system is broken. It has problems that need to be fixed. How big a priority is healthcare reform for AARP Wisconsin?
Well, healthcare reform is a top priority for AARP. We know that the system costs too much, it wastes too much, and we're not getting a value for the money that we spend in it. The current economic crisis is really a big reason why we have to do something about healthcare reform right now. Individuals, families, businesses, everyone is hurting from healthcare, and we can't continue down this path indefinitely. We're hearing from our members that they can't afford healthcare. We know that the premiums for families are set to double over the next 10 years. We know that people can't afford their prescription drugs. We're on an unsustainable course. And so for AARP, we're really calling on Congress, on the president, to do something about healthcare reform now. Really, the cost is too high. We can't afford to wait.
What kinds of stories are you hearing from members as you go around the state? I know you're in the middle of a 24-city tour around the state to get some input from people and hear about the things that they'd like to see in healthcare reform. What kinds of things and stories are you hearing from them?
It's amazing, actually. We have hundreds of heartbreaking stories from our members. One that comes to my mind immediately is an older woman named Sandra who lost her job. A bunch of money, had to go back to work even though she was near retirement age, was unable to get insurance on the individual market because she is a breast cancer survivor, and ended up going into a high-risk pool and having to work solely to pay the premiums for that health care insurance. You know, when you've done everything right, you think you've saved, you think it's time to retire, and you're simply working in order to get health insurance. That's not right in this country. We shouldn't have that.
So this is obviously a complicated issue, or we'd have done something about it by now. AARP membership begins at age 50. Medicare begins at age 65. What is your organization doing to convince Congress that we need better healthcare options for those people who are, you know, between 50 and 64, that kind of middle range?
Right. Well, it is an important group for us. And first, do let me say that AARP wants to make sure that there's affordable, accessible health care for people of all ages. Mm-hmm. But we are focusing specifically on people in that age 50 to 64-year-old group, primarily because we know getting affordable health care and keeping it can be very difficult for people in this age group. A fair number of people, surprisingly, in this age category are uninsured. About 66,000 people in Wisconsin. And folks might be interested to know that the vast majority of them, almost 75% of those folks, are working. It's just they work for places that don't offer health insurance or they don't qualify for benefits. Once you're a little bit older, many of us have pre-existing conditions. Mm-hmm. You've, you know, had little sickness along the way. At that point, it becomes very difficult to get insurance, and it's very expensive. We know that insurance companies reject older applicants at a much higher rate than younger applicants. In addition, out-of-pocket costs for people in this age category are twice as much as for someone who has insurance through their employer. So we want to make sure that people in this category aren't discriminated against mm-hmm. simply because they may have some health issues.
So then we get to age 65. Medicare becomes kind of an important source for healthcare coverage for people 65 and over, and for people with disabilities. How does Medicare fit into that discussion when you're talking about health reform and the kinds of things that need to be changed?
Well, as many people are aware, Medicare is a huge part of our healthcare system, and it's really a systems driver. So any changes that we can make in Medicare will help the system as a whole. In particular, we need to hold down some of the healthcare costs in Medicare right now, which will help free up some money to help pay for coverage of some people who are currently uninsured. So there are a couple of key steps we can take. We can crack down on some of the wasteful spending that is happening in Medicare that would also allow us to improve quality at the same time. And one thing that AARP is supporting is something that's called a follow-up care benefit or a transition benefit in Medicare. Right now, folks go into the hospital, they get discharged, and often you get sent home from the hospital, and patients aren't entirely sure what to do. Mm-hmm. Family members don't know what to do. There's no follow-up. There's no care coordination. You don't need to stay in the hospital, but maybe you need a little help with medication management or making sure you're eating properly. Unfortunately, what we see is that 17% of people on Medicare in Wisconsin who go into the hospital get sent back to the hospital within 30 days of being discharged. That's not good for anyone. It costs the system more money when we're sending people back to the hospital, and it's not good for the patient. Nobody wants to end up back in the hospital.
So talk a little more about that follow-up care benefit. I mean, what kinds of, what are the steps? What does that look like if that's in place?
Yeah, what it would be to have sort of a care team that would coordinate care with a patient. So you'd have someone following, not literally following you, but sort of following your treatments, mm-hmm. you know, from the hospital to perhaps a rehabilitation facility to home. So someone is making sure, perhaps it's a phone call that says, you know, do you understand your medication instructions? Often if someone's been in the hospital, maybe they went in the hospital for one health issue, but they may have some other things going on. They have multiple doctors. This would be a care team with, say, a nurse coordinator who would be able to bring those instructions from various doctors together and work with family members. Often a family caregiver, say a husband or a wife or an adult child, kind of just ends up taking on that role without really any training or any understanding.
So you're helping them kind of to do that job better.
Absolutely. Yeah. There would be a lot of support for family caregivers in this. It's really a win-win situation. It saves money and it helps keep people healthier and out of the hospital. Yeah.
So how we talk about people going into the hospital, out of the hospital, and then back in. I know one of the big things that we have concerns about are the fact that people going into long-term care maybe earlier than they would necessarily need to. Does AARP have any ideas for keeping people in their homes longer? That would be one way to cut down on costs for the healthcare system.
Absolutely. And one of AARP's priorities in this healthcare reform debate has to do with ensuring that long-term care is part of any healthcare reform package. You said it absolutely right. Most people want to stay at home. People are not clamoring to go into nursing homes. In fact, AARP surveys show that 89% of folks would prefer to stay at home as long as possible. Unfortunately, if people need help paying for long-term care, they generally end up in nursing homes because that's where the money is at. That's where, if you need help paying for it, there's a bias of being sent to a nursing home. Unfortunately, that's costing our system a lot of money that we don't need to be spending. Something called home and community-based services are much less expensive and help keep people in their homes. This is having somebody come into your home, perhaps helping with meals, helping with, you know, bathing or getting dressed, some of those tasks that might be difficult, but maybe you just need a little bit of help and you don't need care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week that you would get in a nursing home. We'll always need nursing homes. There are Right. some people who need that. However, a lot of folks would get by with much less expensive home and community-based care.
So you envision that kind of a benefit being built into the system so people can get that care as part of the healthcare system that maybe is not available now?
You know, it's fantastic. In Wisconsin, in so many ways, we are leaders in healthcare and other things. Wisconsin has a program called Family Care that we think would serve as a tremendous model nationally in terms of a long-term care system. And it provides just what we were talking about, care coordination. It gives people the option to stay in their home rather than going into an expensive nursing home. It's another one of those win-win pieces. It costs less and it keeps people where they want to be. So we'd love to see family care kind of out there as a model as part of national healthcare reform.
I want to turn now to drug costs. Those are going up so quickly. It's, you know, obviously a big issue, and trying to keep those under control is always a big part of healthcare reform talks. What's AARP doing to make, you know, is there anything that you can do, or what are you doing to help make drugs more affordable for seniors and others?
Well, you're probably not surprised to hear that prescription drug costs are a huge issue for AARP members. And we routinely hear from folks that they have skipped their medications or cut pills in half or didn't fill prescriptions because they couldn't afford it. So as part of this healthcare reform debate, making sure that we have affordable prescription drugs is really key for us. And there are some very concrete steps we can take that will save money for individuals and for taxpayers. And there are two key pieces. The first is closing the Medicare Part D donut hole or coverage gap. Medicare Part D is the part of Medicare that helps people pay for their drugs. It has a really unique design, though. You get help paying for your drugs during an initial coverage period. Mm-hmm. Then you get help at a catastrophic coverage level. But in between, there's this gap where you continue to pay your full Medicare Part D premiums, but you don't get any help with the cost of your drugs. And so folks are paying the full cost of their drugs during that coverage gap or donut hole, as it's been called. We'd like to see that narrowed or completely eliminated. People are paying for Medicare Part D drug coverage, and we think they should get help with the cost of their drugs as well.
What's the rationale for that sort of donut hole gap in the coverage? Is it just a kind of a money-saving thing? Or?
Yeah, originally it really was set up as a compromise that there wasn't enough money to necessarily fund drug coverage for everyone for all costs. But we think as the cost of prescription drugs has gone up, as their usefulness and their value, and they are used so intrinsically in healthcare, that we really just need to ensure that people have access to affordable prescription drugs.
And I would imagine you're hearing a lot of stories from members around the state about, you know, drug costs and trying to keep up with that.
Oh, absolutely. And another component of this, and we've heard some stories about this as well, another way we can save money with drug costs has to do with something called generic biologics. Now, people are probably wondering, what the heck is a biologic? Folks are familiar, by and large, with generic drugs. Mm-hmm. You know, you can buy a brand name drug or you can get a generic version that is less expensive. And those are in traditional drugs that are made out of chemical compounds. The hot new thing in drugs right now are called biologic drugs. They are very effective in treating serious diseases like cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, but they are very, very expensive, like $10,000 a month kind of expensive. Hmm. And right now you cannot get generic versions of those drugs. And as part of any healthcare reform package, AARP would like to see a process created so we can get generic versions of those drugs. We need to get them into people's hands. There are ways that we can make sure that manufacturers, still have a fair chance to recoup their initial investment in creating those drugs, and at the same time ensure that people have access to these life-saving medicines.
That's always a big issue. You mentioned, you know, the manufacturers being able to recoup their costs. That's something that you want to make sure happens so that they're doing research to create more of them. I mean, what kinds of things can you do in, you know, along those lines? And also, how do you go forward, you know, keeping those kinds of concerns in mind?
Well, we certainly want innovation to continue. We've come a long way in terms of what drugs can do for people. They help people manage their daily lives and even can help cure diseases. When it comes to the biologic drugs, on average, it costs about $1.2 billion to develop a biologic drug. However, U.S. sales of these drugs are huge, somewhere in the neighborhood of $75 billion a year. So when you look at the sales of these drugs, it takes the manufacturer, on average, just 1 to 2 years to recoup their initial investment. Because there's no generic competition, they can charge these huge prices. If you're charging somebody $10,000 a month for a drug, it doesn't take long before you've recouped that investment.
So we brought up the issue of cost with drugs and, you know, the cost of research done by the drug companies and innovation. Let's talk about cost in general and cost of healthcare reform and how to pay for it. I mean, that's maybe the number one concern, or at least one of the top concerns, is where's the money going to come from to pay for this? What's AARP think along those lines?
Well, you're absolutely right. There is really broad agreement over many of the issues that need to be addressed in healthcare reform. And a big question is, how can we pay for it? And how can the government afford to pay for this? The question from our perspective, really, it's not how can the government afford to pay for it, but how can we not afford to fix healthcare right now. One of the key goals of healthcare reform is to lower healthcare costs. Right now, there's a lot of inefficiency in the system. And we think we can help pay for healthcare reform with some of the things we've talked about so far. You know, lowering the cost of drugs. If we weren't spending so much money on biologic drugs, some of that money could be used to provide insurance for other people. The same thing with some of the wasteful spending happening in Medicare. If we're rehospitalizing people over and over again, let's not do that. Let's keep them out of the hospital and use, again, that money to help pay for other people. Now, we know that there are going to have to be some initial upfront investments in healthcare as well. But there are some things that can go a long way, again, towards saving money. Things such as health information technology that can help doctors and hospitals talk to one another and also prevent medical mistakes from happening. We know that a greater emphasis on prevention and wellness can keep people healthier and keep them out of the system. We know we can do a better job at managing chronic diseases. There's something that's often called an 80-20 rule, that 20% of the people in Medicare are responsible for 80% of the costs because they have multiple different health conditions. If we did a better job of managing that, we could save quite a bit of money. We also need to research what drugs and what procedures work best. Just because something is new and expensive doesn't necessarily mean it's the latest and greatest thing. Maybe it is, but maybe it's not.
Right. Let's talk about some of those things that you mentioned. I want to hit on some of those kind of in more detail. You mentioned healthcare information technology and some computerized records and things like that that make it easier to share information. It cuts down on mistakes. I know a lot of people have concerns about privacy issues there. Can you address some of those concerns that people might have that, oh, my records are out there and you know somebody could get a hold of them?
Absolutely. And AARP has been at the table in the discussions around health information technology, primarily as a consumer advocate. And it is protecting people's privacy that is key for us. And there are many things that can be put into place to ensure that people's medical records are private. There are things such as putting triggers in place so that if anybody accesses that information, you may have to give permission so that you would know who is getting your information. There are rules put in place that medical data can't be used for marketing purposes. There could be rules put into place that says, you know, you're informed within a certain number of hours if your medical information has been compromised. So we know this is a key issue for people, but I want to just rest assured AARP is really in there making sure that privacy is kept.
From a technical standpoint, are we at the point where this stuff could all be put into place and we could be doing this now if we went about doing it, or is this something that's far off?
Well, we're not really quite there yet. There are a couple of things we need to put into place. Certainly, I think the technology exists. The challenge we have right now is that we have many different systems, and say that the medical system from one hospital may not be able to talk to a medical system at another hospital. The ultimate goal would be you could live in Wisconsin and vacation in Florida, and if something happened to you in Florida, they could hop on the computer, pull up your medical records here in Wisconsin and see it instantaneously. And we're not quite there yet. There is a new health information technology office at the national level that's really looking into this. How do we put standards in place so that all of these systems can talk to one another?
Okay. You talked about a focus on wellness too. What kinds of things are you thinking about when you say focus on wellness? What should people think of?
Well, wellness and prevention are sort of also key topics right now in the healthcare reform debate. And I think there's a huge range of issues that can be addressed. Some of it, back to those good basics, the healthy eating, you know, eating enough fruits and vegetables every day, back to the basics of exercising. But it also could be something more individualized as wellness when it comes to managing a condition that you might have. For example, if someone has diabetes, Maybe it's checking in regularly to make sure that they're testing their blood sugar, to make sure that they're following any kind of specialized diet that they need to follow. So prevention and wellness can run the gamut from those of us who need to put that 30 minutes on the treadmill to someone who needs much more specialized assistance.
So we've talked about cost and, you know, where the money might come from and how we might save some money there. Another big concern about, you know, healthcare reform is this kind of buzzword, socialized medicine, or we're going to have to ration healthcare when we put that in place. And I'd kind of like to hear you address those concerns too.
Sure. Well, you know, really for us, the idea that healthcare reform means we're moving to socialized medicine or rationing of healthcare is really not true. From an organizational perspective, AARP would oppose any proposal that would base our health system on purely government-run programs. There are thousands, millions of people really in the country that currently have health care and are happy with it. No proposals right now that are under serious consideration by Congress are leaning towards socialized medicine. They would all leave employer-sponsored coverage in place. That people are often happy with. We know, too, when it comes to this idea of rationing healthcare, there are a lot of folks who say, well, the government's going to, you know, choose your doctor and the government's going to tell you what to do. Again, nothing in any proposal would give the government the power to do that. And AARP would oppose anything that would prevent doctors or hospitals from giving the best care possible. One thing I would just caution folks is there are a lot of interests, a lot of stakeholders in this healthcare reform debate. Many of those stakeholders are getting huge profits right now. Much of that is from waste, and much of that's just from overpayments. You know, that is a huge incentive to keep the current system in place, but we simply can't afford to do it. And so we're really calling on Congress to ensure that we can enact healthcare now.
So just to recap, I know that AARP has basically six elements that they want involved in any kind of healthcare reform. And we've touched on a lot of those as we've gone through, but can you recap just kind of in a nutshell what those six are? Maybe we can talk a little bit about them again.
Absolutely. There are, like you say, six key areas that are priorities for AARP in this healthcare reform debate. And these are the things that we are asking Congress to include in any final healthcare package that they put together. One of the first is very key for us. That is affordable, accessible health coverage for people age 50 to 64. We know it can be very expensive and very difficult for people in this age group to get insurance. We also think that there are some key ways to save money on prescription drugs that would be important to include in any final healthcare package. One would be to help people afford the cost of their medicines by narrowing or eliminating the coverage gap or the donut hole in Medicare Part D. We can also increase access to life-saving drugs for people by ensuring that there are generic versions of hot new biologic drugs that are available. These help with life-saving diseases, or life-threatening diseases like cancer and multiple sclerosis. We also know we can save money in Medicare by eliminating some of the waste. We can keep people out of the hospital by helping them with some follow-up care after people have been discharged from the hospital. Kind of piggybacking on that is ensuring that long-term care is part of this healthcare reform debate, making sure that people have access to home and community-based services rather than having to go into a nursing home if they don't need that level of care. And finally, for AARP, we also want to make sure that low-income Americans have help affording the health care that they need, whether it's through something called the Medicare Savings Programs, which helps people pay for their Medicare premiums, or making sure that more people get extra help from the Medicare Part D program. These really are six top issues for us that we're going to be fighting for.
One thing I want to jump back to on those 6 points, you talked about waste and ways to reduce waste. And I think a lot of people equate waste with fraud. They kind of always go together, waste and fraud, Medicare waste and fraud. But a lot of what you're saying is a lot of waste is not necessarily fraud. A lot of waste is just the way we've done things isn't the most efficient way to do it.
That is absolutely true. We could do a much better job of using our resources wisely, and we think that's very important. That's not to say that there is not some fraud that's happening in the system as well. And we applaud a recent announcement that there's going to be a fraud task force at the national level looking at some of the things that are suspicious in Medicare and making sure that we're not using our money foolishly.
I mentioned earlier that you're going out around the state and you're on this tour of 24 cities. Tell me a little bit about that and what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, what we've done is we've kind of randomly invited a small group of AARP members to come and chat with us. We want to hear people's experiences with healthcare. We'd like to hear their stories. We'd love to hear their suggestions and ideas for some of the things that Congress should consider. As we move throughout the summer, we'll probably be hearing from Congress on some of their ideas. We'd love to hear our members' reactions to that. We'll be sharing with our members, too, some of these priorities that we've discussed today so they know where AARP stands.
So you go out around the state, you do this tour, you take this input from people. What are you doing with that input?
Well, we want to make sure that AARP Wisconsin is, you know, sharing what our members are thinking with members of Congress. We have 8 representatives in the House of Representatives and 2 senators, and we're going to share what we hear with the members of our Wisconsin congressional delegation.
Beyond going out and maybe participating in this tour or sending input, what kinds of concrete things can people do to help, you know, achieve healthcare reform?
Well, I would absolutely encourage anyone out there listening to call their member of Congress. These people are going to be looking at these packages. They'll be kind of wrestling with what to happen. They want to know. They want to hear from their constituents about what people are thinking and what they're hearing about healthcare reform. So I really would encourage anyone to contact your member of Congress.
So how can they get in touch with you or find out what you're doing? Website, online, whether phone number?
Sure. You know. There are a couple of places. We have a great state AARP webpage, and people can find it by going to www.aarp.org/WI for Wisconsin. We have another website really focused solely on healthcare reform, and that is www.healthactionnow.org. And for folks who aren't online, you can always contact our office toll-free at 1-866-448-3611.
All right. Thanks for that information. We'll keep an eye on the Health Action Now tour this summer. It's coming to 24 cities. And Lisa Lampkins, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
A message from the AARP of Wisconsin. For more information about healthcare reform, visit aarp.org.